Snowball Spa. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Wednesday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Going to get into all kinds of stuff. Some local teams off to hot starts in spring sports. No one hotter than the Canute baseball team, number one in Class A, 5-0. Talk about some of those teams that are ranked that's starting to come out here in the spring sports, especially for the small schools with the rankings. So we'll hit on some of the spring sports that are just getting kicked off. It feels like it's so weird because it seems like basketball was so long ago. It was just a couple weeks. But with spring break and then with the weather to start this week, there hadn't been really much going on. So we'll go to that. I read a ridiculous article that compared two people that have no business being compared. We'll talk about that. Mel Kiper came out with his another iteration of his mock draft after the combine, after the free agency has kind of settled down a little bit. He released a mock draft yesterday. All kinds of things. It's interesting to see where quarterbacks are or aren't with what we're used to. What's Dallas going to do after the free agency has wiped them out a little bit on the offensive line? Do they try to replace Randy Gregory? What's going on with Dallas in the draft? And then there's one Big 12 player that Mel Kiper has as a first-round pick. Can you guess whom? See if you can guess who that is. Also, I saw an interesting tweet last night by a local sportscaster, Dino Blevins. After the Oklahoma softball team took care of top 10 Kentucky, he sent out a tweet that I thought, boy, is that interesting. I'll tell you what that tweet was and kind of get your thoughts on where, how that is. There's some stats that might prove him right that I've looked up. It's just an insane start to the season for OU softball. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things. Whatever else might be on your mind, feel free to chime in at 225-9698. You're going to be outside the listening area. A couple of ways to stay in touch with the show. You can log on to KADSAM.com or download the Paragon Communications app. The app has all things. It's got three radio stations. It's got the Penny News, brand new edition of the Penny News. Hit the website last night at midnight, thepennynews.com. Check out this week's deals. You can also start picking up print copy of that Penny News as we move along throughout the day into tomorrow for sure at all the different locations that house the Penny News. Big Elk TV, Paragon TV is also in the app. When the high school sports are rolling, you can watch it there. And then, of course, we've got the Skinny on Sports podcast on iTunes and KADSAM.com. If you want to go back, if you missed the show entirely, you can go back and check it out in those two locales. Hello, Jared.
How are you?
I'm struggling just a little bit to figure out what day it is. For some reason, it feels like Thursday.
Oh, it's Wednesday.
And maybe it feels like Thursday because tomorrow is our Friday. Programming note.
Oh, yeah.
No show Friday.
Yeah, no show on Friday.
We will be heading up to, you're going to have to pull a U-Haul behind your truck to be able to bring back all the awards that you're going to be handed on Friday night at the OABs.
It's one.
It's two. You're going to have two.
No, we.
And you're part of two.
We have.
Still.
Okay.
Anyhow, so we're going to be headed to Tulsa on Friday, so you'll get to enjoy whoever is on. I think Chris Craig back. I think he's back. I haven't got to listen the first couple of days. Been pretty busy because it's only a 4-day week. But anyhow, so Friday we will not be here. We'll be back on Monday after the weekend. So that means any hot takes you've got on the tournament, you got to get out tomorrow. That way you can get ahead of it and be right.
All right, I'll think about that.
I've got an interesting thought about that actually.
Okay.
On the tournament that I want to talk about. We'll talk about it tomorrow when we go back over the Western Oklahoma Realty Bracket Challenge. Man, Dylan is killing everybody. But he he's got Purdue as his champion. So
still
if you're one of those people that doesn't want him, that wants to catch up and think you have a chance to win, root against Purdue. And maybe that's just that's all I'm telling you. I was rooting against Purdue like I told you the other day. I discovered this, that that was his champ, and I was like, oh, boy, now I'm rooting for Texas all of a sudden. That doesn't feel right. Felt dirty. Probably ought to just.
Sorry, I could never do that.
I don't know if rooting for was the proper term, but.
Maybe you're rooting against Purdue.
Yeah,
not so much
and
Texas.
It just happened to be Texas. Was
right,
on the other side.
Yeah.
Were you one of those weirdos that rooted for Texas against USC back in 2006?
I distinctly remember where I was when I watched the game and all of that. No.
I say weirdos, I'm talking about OU fans that were rooting for Texas because USC
was
like
room,
at 34 wins in a row.
Right, yeah. I was in a room full of people that were. They were, they're the Big 12, man. We need to stop this USC thing, man. I was like, are you kidding me? It's Texas.
Yeah. Yeah,
it is Texas. You know where I watched that game? I remember. You know where I watched that game? While all that rhetoric was being spouted off? In Norman.
Oh, no.
Yeah, which made it worse. No. Sorry. Can't do it.
We're getting threatened with physical violence at the moment by the leader.
Hey, that's on you, man. That's on you.
I mean, go Purdue. let me take that back. Go Purdue. I don't want any part of that
deal.
The
views and expressions of Skinny do not necessarily reflect Jared Athel.
I don't want any part of that deal. Okay, so. Oh, my goodness. How's that dead grass floating in the air?
Oh, it's getting a little better. It was a heck of a time for me trying to sleep last night because I had that little tickle of a cough. And to the point where, even though I was not kicked out of my bed, I voluntarily went to the couch because I was afraid that it would keep my wife up because it was.
Yeah. I didn't really have it until just now.
And so it just feels like you got to, you just feel like right there at the top of your throat, that little tickle, and you got to cough it out. And once you get it out, it'll be fine. But it is getting better, though. I woke up this morning not hacking like I was yesterday.
I think
it's in the air, man.
I think I read this text of what Dylan was going to do to us, and it's
whoa,
to get it out of my throat. Get back down there.
I'll read that later.
Anyhow. All right, so
you know it's a good text when a text scares you.
It did. It scared me to death. Just trust me, it's going to scare you to death too. You're going to start squirming in your chair, like I don't want that.
Lock the door.
Okay. So last night,
I watched this.
OU went to Kentucky and pounded them like they do everybody in softball. 9-1. Hit what, 6 home runs? Three different players had 2 home runs apiece, and so the Sooners improved to 26. And O, and I heard Patty Gasso on with Jim and Al, I think it was at the end of last week, and they asked her the specific question of, can this be the best team you've ever had? And she kind of paused, and she said, yes, but they have a long way to go. And so she was asking, okay, what do you mean? And she's like, I think we played to like a 6 of 10 so far.
Wow.
You know, and there's and my first thought was about ran off the road. Like, what? There's like 4 more levels of this. But her point was that, you know, they're not putting together complete games, but they're so good that little spurts, you know, it's nothing. It's no big deal for them to score like 5 runs in an inning, and then their pitching's good enough, which to me is coming up. But you know, their pitching's good enough to where those little spurts are able to win the games. Of course, they had the one against Tennessee that was almost a miracle win, the way that game kind of went. And you know, but they did what they had to do. And now after last night, 26-0, 22 run rules, 11 straight games have ended in run rule. And Dean Blevins sent this tweet out to take that conversation to a whole nother level. He said, I've been a close observer of the Sooners since the mid-60s, and to me, this OU softball team has a chance to become the greatest team in the history of OU athletics. 26-0 and halfway home.
Bold statement, Cotton.
And inevitably, it feels like when these conversations start, teams crater. I mean, who cannot forget the 2003 Oklahoma football team, which was one of those just overpowering, dominant forces until a cold night in Kansas City and a Jason White broken foot, and they don't even win the national championship, much less be the best team in college football of all time, the best Oklahoma team of all time. None of that happened. Yeah, and you can go back to all kinds. I mean, we were just talking about Texas. That USC team was up there in the annals of college football until Texas beat them in that incredible Rose Bowl, because Texas had an alien on the field that night in the form of Vince Young.
Miami, and then Ohio State beat them.
That's right, Miami in 2001. You know, there's a lot of different examples all throughout. You know, UNLV basketball back in the early 90s, undefeated. And a team that they beat by 30 in the finals the year before beat them in Duke. And then that starts Duke, you know, in kind of their finishing kick there with Leitner and Bobby Hurley. But that's a really interesting statement. And as far as dominance, it's hard to imagine any team in any sport being more dominant than what Oklahoma has been on the softball field so far. 26-0, 22 of those wins by run rule. 11 straight run rules. Now, let's keep going. Out of 26 games, they've hit at least one home run in 22 of them.
Quite frankly, I'm surprised not every one of the wins.
I was a little bit shocked too, because they have given up 23 runs, not earned runs, not unearned, just 23 runs total, whether or not they're earned or not. They've hit 70 home runs. So they're almost 3-1 hitting a home run versus giving up a run. I'm not talking about like outscoring the opponent 70-23. They've got 70 home runs, and the other teams that they played in the 26 games have only scored 23 runs. That is absurd.
I'm speechless.
It's absurd.
I can't think of a word better than absurd to describe that.
Did you see Lindsey Elam? At one point last night, she had hit a home run in 5 straight at-bats.
Oh, right. Yeah, someone sent me that stat.
Like, what in the world?
Yeah.
It's hard to get a hit five in a row.
You think home runs, you think Jocelyn Allo.
And that's the thing. She's not even the all-time home run queen, who is on that team, by the way. Jocelyn Allo, who broke Chamberlain's record in softball, also snapped a tie with Inky as far as the all-time home run king, queen, whatever, in any softball, baseball, in the history of any of it. And isn't it amazing? Waiting on that number, what was it, 99 to break the deal? It was 98 the tie. It's 99 to 1, I think.
Yeah, something like that.
And it took a while because nobody had pitched to her.
Right.
Now, all of a sudden, after you don't have to be that person, people are pitching to her, and she's just back to hitting home runs in groups. But when you first read that from Dino, it's like, what? Oh, come on, Dean.
Yeah, because he can get
a little bit of hyperbole going on here.
He can get like that sometimes.
I mean, that's pretty far out there. But listen.
But when you look into it, yeah, you want to go all the way back to the Bud Wilkinson football teams of the 50s, and they were incredibly dominant. But this is up there. This is definitely up there. At a time when it is harder and harder and harder just to win, much less win championships, but to win consistently, OU softball is doing it easily. Outside of that Tennessee game, every game just – I was disappointed. I got home last night. I got home after it started, and I was disappointed when I turned it on.
It was like 6-0?
It was already 6-0. Yeah. I mean, we were driving home, and I checked the Twitter sphere, and I was like, okay, it's 1-0 after one. This might be a good game. And honestly, a little disappointed it wasn't a good game. You know what I mean? Because just a viewer of the game and watch a good game. Yeah, no one wants a boring game, but if you're an OU fan, you loved what you saw last night. But on the other side of it, if you're an OU fan, sometimes you want those Tennessee games, right? Because wasn't this talk kind of happening last year, and then they stumbled against who in the first game of the
George Madison.
Yeah. But James Madison.
James Madison, yeah. Didn't they lose in the regional, too?
I think you're right.
And came back.
And, you know, you almost want them to trip a couple times to know how that feels. But then on the other side of it, you want to see history.
The text line. We're going to get to that.
I haven't even opened the text line.
It says, how long until transgenders join women's softball?
Well, you know, when somebody bats well under 100 in baseball,
but here's
they
the
can't
deal.
Get it done.
Here's the deal about that, though.
Yeah, it's...
It would be the hardest one to do it in.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if you haven't seen the video, look it up. Back in Albert Pujols's, I'm talking heyday. And that dude had as good a heyday, a good a decade as anybody in the history of Major League Baseball. He couldn't touch Jenny Finch. And I'm talking about not even foul one off because of how much different the, you know what I'm saying? But I mean, I get the point of it. And trust me, we're getting there at the end of the show on the conversation with the ridiculous article I saw on NBC News comparing Will Thomas or Leah Thomas to Jackie Robinson. I mean, what? Give me a break.
I have an opinion about that.
I do too. I've actually got a comparison to make it true.
Okay.
I can't wait.
You know, and yes, it would be incredible. You can't see some. It's a different sport.
It is, but I get the point. I totally get the point of, and you're right. That's how it happens. I mean, it's how it happened in the swimming pool this week when a dude couldn't swim as fast as the dudes. He tucked his tail and decided to be a girl.
Tucked.
I mean, that was on purpose. back to OU softball right quick. So here's another question. The new stadium is coming. It's going to be a 3,000-seat stadium. Is that too small?
That's a great question.
No, I'm serious.
I mean, I know.
You think about what happened last weekend at Hall of Fame. It wasn't the full Monty like it is
at the World
Series. But there was also easily sold out 5,000 seats.
Right.
Now, this is 3,000. Could it be a 5,000? Is this going to last? I mean, right now it feels like it's going to last forever. But, you know, you see this in a lot of other sports, especially at the college level. Is it Patty Gasso or is it OU softball? Because OU softball hasn't been anything without Patty Gasso.
Absolutely.
You know, and I think there's always the fear of overbuilding something and then ended up with like a Coliseum that's unfull. But
right.
The 5,000 seat thing, I think it was pretty evident, at least right now, with what happened over the weekend at Hall of Fame Stadium, that 5,000 seats can easily be filled. I mean, listen, here's the truth of it. If you're an OU fan and you want to go watch watch OU softball, you got to go on the road. You can't get – or you scalp a ticket.
Yeah, good luck.
I mean, how ridiculous is that to think about, having to scalp a ticket? But that's what you got to do. Or find a place on the road where you can get one because you can't watch them play at home.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
It's crazy. When they opened up, you know, season tickets are through the roof. When they opened up individual game tickets way back before, 10, 14 days before the season started – you know how they do it. It's 10 a.m. and then they open up for the rest of the individual season tickets to each game. And this is each game all the way through, like, May, regular season game. And they sold out within not even 30 minutes.
Yeah, it was minutes.
Now, I get it. You got your secondary markets are snatching them up, too. But, you know, there's the Johnnies and the Janes jumping on there trying to get what they could too. But that's how popular OU softball is right now. And to another extent, the sport has become really popular too. We've mentioned this last year, how fun I'm a daughter – I'm a father of two daughters and they love the sport too. So I'm watching more of it. But it's just a fun sport to watch. It's fast and exciting and – when you get into the postseason, it's ramped up even more. And people like an exciting brand, and that's what OU is giving you right now, is this exciting, historic brand of softball.
Here's one that's going to hurt some people's feelings about this exact topic you're talking about. You know why it's becoming more popular? I mean, it's because it's fun to watch. It's fast. It's well played. And you know what it's taken the place of? Baseball. Longtime baseball fans,
unfortunately,
who are totally tired of what's going on in Major League Baseball, are able to gravitate toward this because it gives them what they want. It's the same game, quote unquote. I mean, I realize it's not played the same way, but it's the same game, but it's faster and it's really well played. And it's exciting. It's fun to watch.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun to watch. I mean, if even the most diehard of diehard baseball fans, if you give them that option, it's like, wait a minute, I'm going to get an hour and 45 in. A great, fun game versus 3.5 of are they ever going to throw a pitch? You know, it's one of those, you know, for the, you know, it's, I think that's, it's come along Oklahoma, Oklahoma State. I mean, it's, you know, that how much fun that would be if it came down to that, you know, for this state at least. And obviously it's the mecca of softball in Oklahoma City. So there's a lot of factors working in the favor of the people here for this team and the, you know, to explode like it has. And it's not just this year. I mean, it's been ever since 2000. I mean, you know, there's been some dips, but yeah, golly, what, since 2013 or so, 2012, 2013. I mean, we're talking about a full decade worth of OU softball being at the top of the sport year in, year out. Sometimes it's not a national title, but they're always there. And OSU's starting to kind of build that way as well. Mm-hmm. And it's fun and it's fast and it's cheap. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. There's a lot going for softball right now. And Sam on the text line said it needs to be 5,000 seats. I 100% agree. For right now. Now, you know, the question is down the road, but who cares? You know, at this point, you know, you're almost thinking, who cares about down the road? Because if you can get it done now, get it done.
Yeah.
And so back to the question of the all-time greatest.
Let's see.
I got a text. I know. But here is why I think there's a chance. I got a text from a guy that he's the same as you. He's got two girls that play softball. One of them's going to play in college. And he said, Jordy Ball's who he's talking about. She came to Fire Lake last summer in the top club nationals and mowed everyone down. He said it was the best travel ball teams in the nation, and no one stood a chance. He's like, it wasn't fair how good she was. And to me, that's the difference. Even from last year's OU team, the bats are still the bats, but they also don't have to get five or six every time to win. Sometimes two's enough.
Mm-hmm.
If and she doesn't even throw all the time.
Right.
We've got a bunch of others. I thought G. Juarez was coming back. Did she not come back? I haven't heard of her pitching yet. I thought at the end she was coming back. Maybe she didn't. Maybe she decided not to. But anyhow.
I think the one thing that stood out to me after last year's team when hearing Ala was going to be back, I thought, whoa, team's going to be good. The left fielder, helped me with her name. I'm ashamed I can't remember.
Donahue?
Yes. Kenzie Donahue.
Yeah, and then the young ones. You know, I mean, Jennings
she
and Coleman
were
younger freshmen.
Ones. And what's cool is, you know, Donahue's from Mustang, and, you know, they find some local kids, but well, they'll go all over to get it. And softball's turned into that at OU. OU has turned into that destination place where kids want to go to play.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of like Alabama and football is what OU and softball has turned into. I mean, I got kids on my – softball or my kid and others that when you say softball, they say, oh, I want to go play at OU.
They're eight and nine years old,
and they just, oh, OU softball, and they don't even care about football.
You know how I know that this the program that Patty Gasso has built is transcending sports in Oklahoma?
How's that?
Long time. Generational time OSU fans like to go watch them.
Wow. That is...
because of what it is. I mean, yeah. That's just the truth.
Yeah.
And now they'll also, you know, obviously their team is there, but it's to a even a way different level than say the football is. I mean, the OU softball is what OU football fans wish OU football was.
Exactly.
What they wish it was. It's actually happening on the softball field.
Yeah.
So I'm with you. It's way too early to say that. But when you look at what's happening,
it's
a possibility.
It is.
70 home runs versus 23 runs given up.
When they're on TV, watch them.
Yeah.
And watch them early because it's going to be over by the third inning.
Yeah, think about if they played full games, what the stats would be. We just got an update from our buddy Leland. The Officials versus Cancer Pediatric Cancer Fundraiser Golf Tournament is set. July the 8th, which is a Friday, at Cimarron Trails in Perkins. Perkins, that's a fun golf course. $125 per player. It's four-man teams, I'm pretty sure. So $125 per person. Whole sponsors at $100. Put it on the calendar. July the 8th, come play golf over at Perkins. Cimarron Trails officials versus Cancer. Goal is to raise $10,000 this year at that tournament. We'll be talking about that from now until we get to it. Appreciate Leland sending us that information. I know he was working hard on it during the state tournament to get it all finalized and ready to go. So
yeah,
that's it. July the 8th, Cimarron Trails and Perkins, the Officials versus Cancer Pediatric Fundraiser, Pediatric Cancer Fundraiser Golf Tournament is set.
Great. Good deal.
Hanson and Donahue didn't even play last night.
Yeah, see, I didn't think I'd saw them.
That's crazy.
Yeah, don't miss out on this team, folks. That's the whole thing we're getting at.
That is one whale.
Very special team. Very special. And it's kind of sad is they're so good. And you mentioned OSU, they're good too.
OSU's top 10.
You know,
they struggled a little early.
Yeah, but
they've kind of figured it out.
And they're gonna be right there in the mix of things towards the end of the year. And the problem is they're in the same state with OU. Mm-hmm.
It is.
They're 21-6. 21-6.
Oh, listen, once it gets closer and we get, you know, the regional pairings, and you hope that that's not a super regional, obviously. You want to see that into, you know, the rankings matter and all that. Right now it wouldn't be, but if, you know, OSU could get, you know, they're not, but a little bit further up before that would be, you know, you start worrying about, or, you know, or further down, I guess. But right now you'd hope that that's not going to be what the case would be, and that you get to see that. I mean, this state, we were so close thinking last year, you know, remember that weekend in June? That week in June where it was like, oh my gosh, are we about to get Bedlam softball championship series and Bedlam men's golf match play for national title? I mean, it wasn't that far away from happening, you know, and the excitement that would create. I mean, there's only so many seats at Hall of Fame, and they're going to sell out with either OU or OSU in there. You know, it doesn't really matter which one it is. They're going to be there,
mm-hmm.
But the electricity that would be in the air for that three-game series to decide a national champion, and in a weird way, for the game to even explode more, Oklahoma State pulling it off, even take it to a higher level if they were the ones that were able to slay the giant. You know, it's a lot of fun stuff to think about, mm-hmm. that could be coming up here in the next couple of months, with the way that, you know, that this team is starting to get recognized across the sporting landscape, not just in the softball, if that makes sense.
Looking at OU's schedule, they open up Big 12 play this weekend with Baylor at home.
Huh.
Host Wichita State, have a two-game series with UAB. They host Tulsa. Back to Big 12 action with at Tech, at Texas, North Texas, Iowa State. And then they end the year, of course, with Bedlam.
Here's a great question.
I'm not seeing any hiccups in there. Unless maybe at Texas could be tough.
Here's a great question on the text line.
What do you got?
Is there any chance OU would host the regional at Hall of Fame Stadium instead of Norman because of the demand?
Man, I don't know. I think they'd love to stay in Norman, but I get the demand. But some people might look at like, oh, wait, you get to go to Hall of Fame Stadium before everyone else goes to Hall of Fame Stadium.
That's kind of what I was wondering, too. I mean,
you already played a little series there earlier in the year. But, I mean, let's face it, Hall of Fame Stadium's turned into OU second home. But it's a great question to allow more fans to be there.
Yeah. or figure out a way to
convert Bricktown into a softball field.
Yeah, I was going to say just figure out a way to bring in, you know, temporary seating behind, you know, the fences
they've done that.
And whatnot.
They
I mean,
have
but
done
just
that.
A bunch of it to get more people.
They've done that
because it's obvious the demand is there. The supply is the problem, but that's a good thing. That's one of the things about the 3,000 versus 5,000 argument. At 3,000, that demand is always high and the supply isn't there. If you get to 5,000, does that kind of wane? Because a part of the intrigue and the interest in the whole thing is not being able to see them, not being able to just go buy a ticket.
Right, right.
You know that
it's so
that
the demand
helps.
Is so high. There's times I just don't even try to look.
Yeah, and then, but that helps. That helps with the fascination with them, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
It's an interesting thing.
I just blew my mind, the thought of turning Bricktown Ballpark into a softball field.
I was going to say Eldale Mitchell, but it's not, you know, there's grass and you don't want to.
Yeah,
it's just
going
to be a harder deal. All right, so Mel Kiper came out with his kind of post-combine free agency settling in mock draft. It's probably like 3.0 or 4.0, something like that.
Who's counting? He updates as much as Apple updates their phones. I can't keep up.
So, interesting on the Big 12 front. And this has been a common theme in drafts over the last few years. Part of the reason is there's only 10 teams. And so they're going to have less players than these conferences with 14 and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But this year it's even worse. There's one player he has mocked from the Big 12 in the first round. Any guesses on who that is?
Man, you brought that up. It's top of the hour, and I was thinking. It's I would probably guess from a team, but
where?
I almost want to say Iowa State because they lose a lot.
It is Iowa State.
Okay.
We had a guess at Perrion Winfrey. He is not in the first round.
I didn't think he was.
He's right there, kind of mid. It just.
Is it the tight end?
Nope.
Who is it then?
Breece Hall.
It is Breece Hall. Okay.
Breece Hall, but here's the problem. He had him slotted 27th to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and he has to update it and said, I made this pick before the Bucs re-signed Leonard Fournette yesterday.
That's a problem.
So and being a running back is also the problem because I think once you get down at that bottom of that first round, it's easy to see those guys slide right out of there end up being in the middle of the second top to middle of the second. So with that in mind, I think there's a very good chance that doesn't happen, and that means that according to this at least, the Big 12 is not going to have a first rounder.
Well, what else is new?
You know, it's there's been times where there's been a few. And as I said, 10 teams, you know, the chances are smaller just because you're lacking four schools. But, man, that's an indictment. But you know what it also goes to show? It shows you why the Big 12 hasn't been in the playoff for the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Because they haven't had that top-end, high-end, first-round talent.
Now, optimistically, or could it be a lot of this potential NFL talent is staying at their school?
It's what you'd hope. But then you look up in the – a team that should have won the Big 12 title last year, a lot of people think, in Oklahoma State, you know, what the conversation was an entire year was how old they were.
Right.
Especially on the defensive side and how long they've been there. And, of course, you don't see any of those guys in this, you know, sometimes you're just a really good college player and, you know, there's some things that limit you. Like Malcolm Rodriguez was a heck of a linebacker. He's smaller. You know, he doesn't fit the mold. Now, that doesn't mean he won't be a stud in the pros. He'll just have to do it from being a third or fourth round pick or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Also interesting, outside of the Big 12 angle, just because that's here locally, want to take a gander at what pick the first quarterback came off the board?
In the Big 12 or overall?
Just overall in the draft order, what pick was the first quarterback selected?
Could it be the quarterback from Pitt?
It is the quarterback for Pitt, but what pick?
Oh, what pick? Oh, I'm going to guess in the middle of the first round.
18th. So past the middle.
Past the middle, yeah.
I was going to look this up, and then I got distracted. on how long it's been since the first quarterback came off the board with the 18th pick. It feels like a long time ago. I may be missing one in my mind, but that feels like ancient history. Because what is the one thing you see in all these drafts once they get closer? The quarterbacks get overdrafted. They get moved up,
and
people get desperate.
Right.
But when you look at what's above them at 18, you know, the Texans at 13 could obviously be intrigued to take one after the trade they made. You know, the Vikings just paid Kirk Cousins again. Washington picked up Wentz. The Jets drafted a quarterback last year. Seattle at 9 is obviously a spot, courtesy of that Denver pick. But are they wanting to wait with the picks they'll have next year and try to do it that way when the crop seems a little bit better? Atlanta at 8, they picked up Mariota after trading Matt Ryan. You wonder if maybe that's if they fall in love with somebody. You know, in Carolina, there's a lot of teams that, you know, maybe not, but at least right now it doesn't look like they value these guys in this draft this year high enough to take them in the top 10.
Or this is exactly where they want to be, like you said, next year. Stay in the top 10 to get a better quarterback draft.
And, you know a guy that's hurting at the moment.
Baker?
That's correct.
Yeah. I just wonder if Cleveland wants to hold on to him and say, hey, you could be our backup.
I'm wondering if Cleveland was holding him hostage to wait to see if Deshaun Watson's going to be suspended for the year.
That too.
I realize they
what
picked
an
up.
Incredible, awkward situation for everybody involved. Then you got, if that happens, and you got Baker's like, wait a minute, I want it out of this Brown town.
Okay.
I don't want to be here. You want me to play for you? Now you want me to play? Thought I wasn't old enough. I was a child.
What if he does good? They want you to. Now you've paid Deshaun Watson $230 million guaranteed.
Man.
Anyway, that's down the road.
That is way down the road.
But it is interesting with the quarterback, the lack of quarterbacks. Do they start moving up as we get closer when teams decide, you know what, I can talk myself in. Malik Willis yesterday had his pro day, and people were going crazy over the last pass, and he threw it 70 yards in the air right on the dot, rolling to his left, da-da-da. Do things like that start to talk the Atlantas, the Seattles, into taking them, which then pushes better players down the first round?
I don't know. You mentioned, I think you said the word panic. I think that could come into play. I think what we need to wait on is stuff like what's going to happen with the Baker situation. You know, who finds their final landing spots, and then does that change draft stock for these quarterbacks right now?
Or is it going to go the other way around?
Or it could push them down even further.
No, I mean the teams wait till after the draft to see where the musical chairs stopped, and then, okay, you know, or if you're the Browns, okay, now who didn't do it? Now they're desperate.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, who didn't pick up a quarterback and who still needs a quarterback? Yeah. Let's give them a call, see what we can get.
Yeah, are the Seahawks really sold on Drew Lock? Really? Yeah, we'll see. But I think that's right now to me it looks like he's going to be there through the draft or be traded at the draft or something like that. You know, if a team like, say, Seattle talks themselves into Malik Willis at 9, but Atlanta does too at 8. And so they strike out there, and then they get then they look and say, no, well, there's no way we're taking Kenny Pickett at 9. We'll just move down. And then, you know, each time it's their chance, it just doesn't work out, right? Mm-hmm. And so then they go after the draft, after free agency, and they're looking around going, wait a minute, we did pretty – we had, you know, we had a good draft. We had this – we got, you know, DK Metcalf and Kevin – or what's his – the Lockett. It's not Kevin now. It's Tyler. Tyler Lockett. Are we really going to run the season with Drew Lock as our quarterback in what might be the toughest division – well, not anymore, but what was the toughest division in football this last year? And it's still pretty good with Arizona and with the Niners and the Rams. Yeah, I don't think so. Baker, come on down.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's him in this draft process too is going to be really interesting to me. And you know, it's easy for teams to use their leverage on the Browns right now because of the draft. Well, we don't have to. We're not giving you a second rounder for him. We can take our own quarterback in the second round, right?
Right.
It's easy to negotiate that way. And if the Browns crumble, then okay, we got Baker Mayfield for a fifth rounder. Okay, yeah, we'll do that because he's going to be better than anybody we could draft in the fifth round, maybe even the first round with this draft. But after the draft, then that leverage goes away. And now maybe Cleveland comes back on the top of the thing to be able to say, well, you didn't pick one. And we know you don't want Drew Lock. He doesn't even like pancakes in Seattle. It's funny. Isn't it funny that it's the Browns and what seems like the Seahawks involved in this? Like that movie.
Life imitating art.
I mean, it really is. Like, what are the odds that we get to...
That is funny.
...to this situation? And quite honestly... I mean, Baker, a little Bo Callahan-ish. You know, did his teammates really go to his birthday? Was he really that cool?
That is funny how that works out.
SEC with only 11 of the 32 in the first round. Go ahead.
Only
11. Doesn't that seem low?
It does seem low, but you said only 11.
Only 11.
Only 11, 11
of,
this year.
Only 11 of 32. I mean, honestly... When I was counting, I was expecting 15 or 16. It seems like half the draft is normally SEC.
It's like the first 15 picks are SEC.
Outside of Georgia and Alabama, you've got 1, 2, 3. I think that's it. I think there's 3 that aren't Georgia or Bama. Nope, there's 4. Oh, there's 5. Never mind. Georgia and Alabama, no, that's why. You know why? Because Alabama only has 2. That number's normally 5.
Yeah.
That's Bama. Now, they're probably the ones that have the young ones that haven't got there yet.
Yeah, that's where that comes into play.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that number will be 16 or 17 next year.
Yeah.
When they get their normal 6 and then everybody else sprinkles in there.
QB1 probably might be pick 1 or 2.
Yeah. Drake London from USC, receiver at the 4th spot.
You can't take credit for that, Lincoln.
Man, I got to tell you, one of the most frustrating yet funny things about the college football offseason and leading into next season, you know what that's going to be?
How great USC is. Because
just Cowherd Twitter.
Oh, he knows what he's doing.
Man,
he knows what he's doing.
He is trolling the Sooner fans,
boys. He knows
boys.
What he's doing.
All right, let's see what Mel Kiper. We ought to save this one and then see what the differences are next time.
Oh, next week when he comes out with his 2.0?
It won't be Breece Hall. As we mentioned yesterday, starting next Tuesday, we're going to be glad to have our man Rodney Skinner down at Paul Jones Drugs. Going to be joining the show, partnering up with us for Paul Jones Drug Tuesdays. That's great stuff. Him and Tyler with Western Oklahoma Realty. Getting involved with the show. We really appreciate those guys. And you can, too. Just give us a call. 3 more days open.
Yeah. Sponsor a day.
Yeah,
it'd be easy. Even sponsor the podcast.
Podcast.
We could say that's open.
Gets lots of listens.
Sure does.
Text line blows up when we talk about women's softball.
That just goes to show, man.
It's all about the local.
Yeah.
And speaking of the local. Some local teams in the different spring sports are off to really good starts. One of those, and this has been kind of a fixture for what, gosh, 3 or 4 years now for sure. It seems like fall baseball or in the springtime, the Canute Trojans have been really, really good for a while now. And this year is no exception. Number one in Class A, 5-0, outscored their opponents 49-10 so far in the 5 wins. And oh, by the way, they played ranked number 9 Visalia in Class A, beat them 8-0. Then they went up this last weekend and played some of the bigger boys. PC North out of 6A, McGinnis out of 5A, and beat both of those teams. So Coach Gillette, and he's got the guys rolling again already.
Yeah, and looking at their schedule, they not shying away from that competition, like you mentioned. They go to Amber Pocasset for a tournament this weekend. They're defending champs in that one, look to keep that going. They will host number four Class A Sterling, number four out of Class B, La Kiva Sickles. You mentioned Visai, they got another date with them. Amber Pocasset, they probably will see them in their tournament. They're number eight out of two-way. They go to number one Class B Roth. They host number three out of Class A Red Oak, number two out of Class B Fort Cobb. I mean, you don't get better playing down, and that's clearly the philosophy of the scheduling. So, and these games, you want to see some high-level state tournament quality baseball. Keep an eye on the Canute schedule.
Yeah, well, there's a whole bunch of it, not just in Class A, also in Class B. So you look at Canute's 1, Rapo Butler's 11, Shattuck's 17, I think Moreland was 19, just out in this area. Then you shoot her over to Class B, it's almost half.
Yeah.
You mentioned Fort Cobb's 2, Leedy's 4, La Kiva Sickles 7, Granite 10, Sentinel 12, Hammond 15, Mountain View Godibo 20. So that's 7 of the top 20 are in a 50-mile radius, 100-mile radius, from Leedy to Mountain View is a little ways, but still, that's a heck of an opportunity. And here's the thing, I know we don't have anything to do with it, but coming up this weekend is some good stuff.
This coming weekend,
yes.
Help me out. What do we got?
It's the I-40 baseball tournament.
Oh, you mean like next week? Am I wrong?
I think it's tomorrow. Is it not tomorrow? I thought the 24th.
I believe it starts a week from.
I thought
tomorrow.
It was the 24th. I thought I saw 24th.
I know Leedy's in it. Check out their schedule.
Yeah, I'm going to check Elk City's in there. I know. The Tuttle.
You know what? You're right.
Yeah, Elk City plays Tuttle tomorrow.
It starts tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, you're right. You are right.
Yeah, Elk City, Tuttle, Merritt, Weatherford, yeah, yeah. Leedy, Clinton. Kingfisher's been there a little bit. Maybe La Kiva.
La Kiva's in it. I'm going off memory. La Kiva, Kingfisher, I mentioned Leedy. Of course, Clinton, Weatherford. There's going to be others. But yeah, that's always been a high-level tournament. That's pretty good.
Interested to see how the Elks bounce back. Started out 4-0, went down, played some really good competition at Gulf Shores, and went 0-4. Three of those games were close. One was a 9-4 loss. And then got the Anadarko games postponed. So, they're bouncing back on a four-game losing streak with Tuttle, which probably number one in 4A. Just kind of looking around at the records. I would assume if they haven't released them. I would assume they'd be one
3A up. They haven't released them yet. Right. I think they play a few games and they release them.
Yeah, I mean Tuttle's 9-0.
Yeah, Tuttle's going to be up there. Blanchard's always in the mix. Then I know Weatherford has a new coach, but they're always there.
They're 6-2.
Okay, and Clinton's always you got Coach Gaunt. They're always going to give you a game. So. I think they're undefeated still.
Yeah, Clinton's 4-0 with wins over Western Heights, which everybody better get those. I mean, if you want to win your district, and then they beat Hera and Newcastle. So yeah, it ought to be good.
I tell you, the game I am really looking forward to, and I know I've told you this off air. I'm efforting the date.
I've got it right here, April 11th. I know what you're talking about.
Clinton Elk City. And I hope it's the pitching duel we want to see. Right? Not necessarily the pitching duel. I know Caden Powell's going to OU basically as a shortstop.
Yeah.
Utility guy.
Yeah, you wonder how much he's going to throw.
Yeah. But, yeah, you got two high-level baseball players playing on two really good teams. I think that'd be a lot of fun. What, April 11th here?
Yes.
Starts off here and then 12th over there.
That's correct.
Clinton.
That is
that might be a day we're ducking out early to go watch that one.
Shh. They're in there.
Oh, no, it's at 5. It's after 5.
It does say 5 o'clock. Luckily enough, it does.
And we're right down the road. I mean, a foul ball could probably get over here sometimes.
Yeah, it could have yesterday.
Yes, it could.
Pop one up in the air with a little bit of spin. Bounces over the hits on the road and bounces over everything. It'll be right here in our back door.
It is really cool that we have really good baseball out here everywhere.
It shows you. There's a ton of it. It doesn't have to be Class B, and it doesn't have to be 4A. It's all the way through. Where there's all kinds of good soccer, too.
Yeah, you got the You got the defending 4A champs and Clinton boys.
Weatherford, Woodward are both really good.
Yep.
There's some and girls. Weatherford, Elk City have got off to good starts. Clinton a little slower than normal. But none of the district games have really started happening yet to figure out kind of who's where and all of that. Did you see this article?
Speaking of soccer, just tournament over in Clinton.
Did you see this article with Leah Thomas?
No.
On NBC News?
I usually scroll on past that stuff.
Comparator to Jackie Robinson.
That is ridiculous. Jackie Robinson played his competition and, yes, had a lot to overcome. He didn't switch sports or switch genders to even the playing field. Listen, I remember growing up, there was a kid who didn't make the baseball team. So he grabbed his bat and balls and he went and joined an easier league. Wasn't good enough for our league. This to me is what I'm seeing. That's the equivalent of that with Thomas. Could not compete with the men and went and I'm not saying that's an easier league. We've mentioned that with the softball. A guy playing baseball couldn't go and play softball and have greater success. It'd be tougher. But that's the way I see it. It's incredibly infuriating, especially if you're a girl dad.
I mean, one of them broke the color barrier and made his sport better.
True. Very true.
This one is trying to ruin the sport that he went to by being a boy and swimming with the girls. This is nowhere even near the same thing. You're talking about the guy that broke the color barrier in North American sports, Major League, and at that time in the country, and to try to compare the protests against him swimming against the girls versus what Jackie Robinson faced as an African American in this country at that time is a joke. An absolute joke.
Yes.
And that's if what this guy is doing wasn't a farce. The only way you could compare what this guy is doing to Jackie Robinson is if Jackie Robinson was really a white dude that painted his face.
Oh, yeah. Ooh.
That's the only way this is actually a comparison.
I see what you're saying.
It's craziness.
Yes.
Absolute craziness. And it's being a girl dad. I don't even know what I can't imagine thinking about where this is headed, especially with younger girls that are in elementary school and what they're going to end up seeing and what they're going to end up facing, the possibilities of it anyway. It's not positive. It's horrific. And it's so funny to me that the same people that have pushed and pushed for women's rights and this and that for all these years are silent when it comes to this. Because they know the truth, and they know that this is ruining women's sports, not helping it. It's not enhancing it. It's ruining. You know why? Because if you let a dude play with the girls, is it really women's sports?
It's true.
Craziness. I mean, when I saw this, I just thought, oh, my gosh. Comparing Leah Thomas to Jackie Robinson is unbelievable. Unbelievable.
I think the silence actually speaks more than...
Of course it does.
...than what is being said.
Of course it does. What are they going to say?
Right. Huh. Good show.
Oh, man.
A lot of content.
Text line flying. Oh, man. We'll have to. Maybe we can get involved with that tomorrow. Yeah. Have a great day.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.